Hello and welcome to this episode of Green Teens, discussing environmental problems that are very pertinent today. Today's episode, the Paris Climate Agreement. Wait! Before we start this episode, I have an exciting announcement. From today's episode forward, we will have two voices on this podcast. Welcome to my partner and now official co-host, Prithika Devarajan.
Hey Vinya, and hello to all our listeners. I'm so excited to be joining alongside you and making some good content today.
Together, we will provide insight to all you viewers, and hopefully you will leave this episode with some new knowledge.
I hope so. The Paris Climate Agreement overall is a really interesting subject, and I hope you guys gather some new information today so you can feel more confident when talking about it yourselves.
So, did you watch last week's episode?
Of course I did.
So you probably remembered the discussion about what we can do in our daily lives to help combat climate change and the reason climate change is a problem, right?
Yeah, it's really neat how there's so many simple things that we can do to combat it, and our actions can go really far. It can be hard to get our message across, though, don't you think? It's important to have initiatives to spark change on a larger scale to make an even bigger impact on our environment, too.
Yeah, though we can do a lot by changing our own habits, governments and big corporations are able to make higher legislation to be able to control the causes of it. Right now, there are many agreements that we have made, such as the Paris Climate Agreement and the Green New Deal.
I've heard about the Paris Climate Agreement and the Green New Deal recently as people begin to raise more debates about its importance. For example, Biden recently rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement after former President Trump pulled the US out of it. I know a bit about the Paris Climate Accord, and by combining our knowledge, we could develop a good understanding and the viewers can do the same with us.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I too have been hearing about the Paris Climate Agreement as the US has re-entered in it. The Green New Deal is also an extremely important piece of legislation, but we'll visit that in a future episode, so stay tuned for that. In this episode, we'll discuss the Paris Climate Agreement.
I can't wait. So Venya, do you know exactly what this agreement is all about? Mainly, what was the need for its creation?
Before we get into the details of what the Paris Agreement is, we first have to establish that it was and is an initiative to aid in the reverse of our climate crisis through collaboration with other countries. Its creation began at the 21st Conference of Parties at the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, or the UNCC, and it was adopted on December 12th of 2015. Now, adoption means that its text was agreed upon, not that it was up and running by then or signed on by any means. After December 12th, parties then started to sign the agreement. According to the WRI, it was open for signing in New York from April 22nd of 2016 to April 21st of 2017. And once a country had signed it, it was part of the agreement. The U.S. joined the accord on November 4th of 2016. The accord allowed 195 nations to work together on our climate issues. According to the UNCC, there was an attempt to have a similar type of agreement between nations all the way back in 1997, called the Kyoto Protocol, but it was never passed through.
So, are there any specific goals that the Paris Climate Agreement entails?
The accord aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, like carbon, by specifically setting a goal to keep the global temperature increase in our current century to only 2 degrees Celsius above the temperatures of pre-industrial times, meaning before the driving use of technology and factories. The agreement decided that they wanted to aim for 1.5 degrees Celsius, most likely to be precautionary and stay farther away from the 2-degree mark. As noted by the NRDC, Everyone that has signed onto the agreement, which includes many major greenhouse gas emitting nations, would provide a pathway for developed nations to assist developing nations. And it allowed for monitoring, reporting, and fine-tuning of countries' individual and collective climate goals.
So how are countries aiding each other or working together?
Countries are helping each other financially by building capacity and working to provide more technological resources to achieve climate goals. Financially, the Paris Climate Agreement assures that developed nations take the responsibility to help other nations, but also encourage other parties to make some monetary contributions. According to the NRDC, there is a certain framework involving technology that is used to give guidance in using it and also developing it for climate reasons. Similar to the financial plan, to build capacity to be able to handle such problems also comes from developing nations requesting help from developed nations, and that help could also entail money.
So what is being done to limit climate pollution and achieve these goals that have been set? Also, while you're at it, could you elaborate more on these countries' individual goals?
So the Paris Climate Agreement requires that every country, a part of it, has to set its own goals and present them at a conference in a 5-year cycle. And these goals have to have economic or social transformation in countries based on climate action on countries. And these goals have to become increasingly impactful throughout every 5-year cycle. Now, these presentations are called National Determined Contributions, or NDCs. After setting NDCs, countries will have to work on these plans. For example, countries may begin to develop things like zero carbon solutions to put into the market, or work on their low-income citizens in helping in pollution issues.
Now, some examples of the goals that countries have is that India's goal is to commit to 40% of its energy to be renewable energy resources by 2030, and US's goal is to be committed to cutting overall greenhouse gas emissions by 26 to 28% below 2005 levels by 2025.
Wow, I hope they do follow through with their goals. Doesn't it seem like the Paris Climate Agreement would have some great effects in our world?
Yeah, the fact that so many major countries were able to come together for a solution to one big issue in our world is remarkable. You would think that with all their planning, it would be a strong movement.
Surprisingly though, despite how large the Paris Agreement was, it genuinely was not as effective as we thought it would be.
Care to explain?
Sure, though let's start with some good things. It seems like in total, there's been an increase in what we like to call metaphorical change. There doesn't seem to be any massive change as of now. It's more like the international leaders are laying out their plan. For an example, you may have heard of the term 1.5 degrees. Scientists, after extensive research, decided that in order to divert most of the major effects of climate change, we have to keep the temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Wasn't it 2 degrees before and 1.5 was just a goal?
Yes, but afterwards, the Paris Climate Agreement had settled down and established that 2 degrees would not be enough. After research with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change decided that statement. In the end, 1.5 degrees was established as a target, but we wait what actions they will take. Another change includes a changing attitude on what forms of fuel are more efficient. In the beginning, we have to understand that people in low-income communities invested in fossil fuels, as it seemed to be a cheaper option. But after the Paris Climate Agreement passed, the United Nations chief stated that renewable energy was a much cleaner and more sustainably cheaper option for our poorer communities to invest in.
Did this have any benefit?
It did. It allowed more environmentally friendly companies to enter into the market to help these communities. Speaking of companies, as a listener, you may have heard about companies pledging that they will take charge. Now, it's important to understand that these companies have pledged these actions, not actually initiated them. After passing the agreement, there was suddenly more urgency for companies to invest in cleaner and efficient actions. For example, the World Resources Institute reported a few months back that over 1,000 companies have committed to setting emission reduction targets, and more than 340 of those companies have committed to setting net zero targets. And these include companies like Chanel to Nestle, and their overall output of carbon is more than the entire emissions of France. Now that's a lot. You may have heard of popular companies like Nike, who is working on becoming 100% renewable energy powered by 2030. Other transportation companies like Air New Zealand, Baidu, and HP are seeking to transition to electrical vehicles by 2030.
So do you think this is enough for any prominent changes?
Certainly. When we begin to set goals and targets, it can have massive effects. And the agreement seems beneficial overall. But let's see what it's not accomplishing that we need to change. Our first point includes that in order to keep climate change steady, we need to have it below 1.5 degrees. Yet current policies in the agreement would result in a 3 to 4 degree rise by 2100, according to the new Climate Institute. Think about it. A 3 degree warming would lead to insufferable flooding. One of these reasons is because countries are simply not pledging enough in their goals. The National Geographic reports that countries need to triple their commitments to even get under the 2-degree limit. And the thing is that countries have these technologies, but simply don't have the regulations to make it happen. For example, the report cited by the National Geographic analyzed the 184 pledges that countries created for 2030. And found that despite their pledges, China and India are on track to having higher emission levels in 2030, the US's target was also too low, and Russia hadn't even bothered to make a pledge.
Are there any countries that are on track to meeting their goals that they set through their NDCs?
Fortunately, the European Union is expected to reach a 60% reduction in its emissions by 2030, and that's a lot. Also, the balance of which countries need to change is a little bit strange. There isn't any direct plan in the Paris Climate Agreement on how to share burdens of changing their economy and technology for the climate action movement. For an example, countries have been divided in developed countries and developing countries. Yet developing countries are allowed to admit as much as needed, while developed countries simply don't have strong limits on what to admit. Overall, the plan is not as strong as we hope it would be.
Honestly, there needs to be stricter regulations in order to make this agreement work. It's a great idea, but there needs to be frequent checks for action to achieve goals, and there needs to be specific plans to allow countries to actually work together impactfully.
Yeah, I totally agree. It can be an extremely beneficial piece of legislation if goals are more enforced and participants are required to take action to show results continuously, like these countries. Being a part of an agreement still is important because it encourages more work on climate change and it allows nations to work together, not just strictly.
Speaking of the importance of being a part of the agreement and working with the world to tackle climate change, former President Trump actually pulled us out of the agreement on November 4th of 2020, which is why Biden decided to rejoin the U.S. in it at the start of his presidency.
During his campaign, Mr. Trump had promised that he would be pulling out of the agreement, and in June 2017, he officially announced that he would. The earliest time that he could officially remove the U.S. from the agreement, however, was November 4th, 2020.
Some of the reasons that Trump decided to do that is because he thought that it would cost America as much as 2.7 million lost jobs by 2025, according to the National Economic Research Associates, unquote. The report that Trump quoted was actually majorly criticized by environmental groups because it says that the industrial sector alone would have to cut 40% of our country's emissions instead of taking other sectors that produce greenhouse gases into account. According to the Washington Post, he's also called the pact a disaster for our country that would hurt American competitiveness by enabling a giant transfer of American wealth to foreign nations that are responsible for most of the world's pollution, which ignores that the U.S. is one of the top greenhouse gas emitting nations and shifts the focus from reversing the climate crisis to more of a take on power and wealth.
His take on the agreement could be risky because it leaves less chance to work on an issue that is time-sensitive, especially when the Paris Agreement doesn't require a certain amount of money to assist other countries, but instead just encourages many developed nations to pitch in to get an idea rolling. Trump also believed that the Paris Climate Agreement wouldn't do much in reducing global temperatures.
Did he ever have any plans in place to assist in our climate crisis?
Unfortunately, during Mr. Trump's time in office, there has been so much damage towards our protection of the environment. His administration has removed protective measures in wildlife spaces and Native American lands, according to the High Country News. He continues to allow companies to produce so much pollution by rolling back over 25 rules limiting air pollution, according to the New York Times. And you may have heard about the Keystone XL pipeline, which Trump had accepted to be continued to be built, but has fortunately been ruled off by the Supreme Court. It's important to stress that Mr. Trump's term in office was a key 4 years in going against climate change. Now, current President Biden plans to stiffen auto emission standards, cut all greenhouse gas emissions from the nation's electric sector by 2035, and make the country carbon neutral by 2050. He will also be pushing for a $400 billion funding over 10 years dedicated to clean energy development, while being a part of the Paris Climate Agreement as well.
Hopefully that will do some good and help the environment. As we've learned all these things today, it's important to remember that your efforts in reducing your own footprint are still extremely valuable, but government legislation is also needed. We hope you learned a lot from this episode.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and we'd appreciate it if you kept tuning in to keep learning about our environment and our actions to help it. See ya!